So as our president hops from nation to nation over there in the Pacific, it's worth noting that most of our history has played out on and over that other big ocean. What's the name? Oh, what is the name?
Indian Ocean?
No. The Atlantic.
Oh.
Listen to JFK nearly a half century ago talking about that pond he sailed as a boy.
Really, I don't know why it is that all of us are so committed to the sea, except I am. I think it's because, in addition to the fact that the sea changes and the light changes and ships change, it's because we all came from the sea.
The sea is inescapable, says JFK. The Atlantic certainly is. It lives on in lore and acronyms. NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It's in Afghanistan mostly these
days. Oh,
yeah,
you forget about that.
That's right. Later this morning, we're going to talk to the journalist and writer and explorer Simon Winchester about his new book, Atlantic. But Dave Mash has his own reasons for loving the Atlantic. A retired sword boatman writes a column on birds and fishing called Ask Pops and came to the ocean from being a landlubber. Dave Mash, good morning.
Good morning.
Where did you start with the Atlantic?
Oh, the Atlantic or life. The Atlantic was Revere Beach in Massachusetts.
And you arrived there at what age?
I was 17 years old, having come east to go to college, and I'd never seen the sea. Went to Revere Beach and Urban Beach, and somehow, I can't say I was aware of it at the moment, but the confrontation or the meeting with the sea changed my life.
And it changed your life?
I've never moved away from the sea since.
It got you wet. It, got you away from the shore. Tell me about your first boat ride on the Atlantic.
I really don't know what my first boat ride was. It probably was a fishing trip with some other young men in Quincy Bay in Massachusetts. But my major seagoing started when I went to work with the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, a major scientific institution as a research assistant in biology.
And some of those early memories aren't exactly pleasant for you, Dave.
No. My first night at sea was one of the two nights in the years that I've actually spent at sea that I was seasick, so ill that I will never make fun of anyone else who is seasick, because it's a dismal feeling, especially if you know you're going to be trapped in this world that's made you so ill for the next 3 weeks, as was my case, and in the old days with people going to cross the Atlantic, possibly months.
So it makes you wonder about the...
Extremely depressing. You might prefer to be dead.
Indeed. Right. And, it's not funny. You got to imagine the people that crossed the Atlantic to come to the United States down through history, the slaves that were sort of stacked on bunks years ago.
Yes, well, I had was stacked. I was in a fairly small boat. My first night of seasickness, being a total greenhorn, I was unaware that the bridge on a boat sent messages to the engine room to change speeds and such with bells, loud bells. My bunk was fairly near the engine room, and I was in the top bunk with a fairly narrow space between me and the overhead. These bells started to ring as if I was pitching around, and I sat bolt upright, hit my head on the overhead, probably knocked myself unconscious and split my head. So I was, when my bosses woke me up some hours later, I was covered with blood. So I figure I never got seasick again for fear of killing myself in the process. And I never did. So now I survived a long time.
That was over 50 years ago. That's the worst seasick I've ever heard of.
Well, we're hearing some salty stories from Dave Mash about his experience on the Atlantic. He's a former commercial sword boatman, and he writes a column on fishing and birds called Ask Pops. We're also asking you for your sea stories at 8778-MY-TAKE or post a comment to thetakeaway.org. We've got a comment from Liz in Staten Island who writes, "The Atlantic Ocean, my lifeblood. I lived in Buffalo for 12 years, had not been near the ocean in all that time, then drove to Provincetown for a break from school. The sight of the ocean so moved me that I was in tears." With all of the misery that seasickness and the Atlantic can cause if you make your living as a boatman, yeah. Dave Mash, what is the allure? What is the thing that keeps you going back?
Oh, the allure is, well, there are so many things. One is the very vastness of the sea, and the freedom that one can experience on the sea from, everything except the most elemental of forces. And that you're only you know, they're only inches between you and eternity when you're out there, because anything can happen.
Dave, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
How come it is that boatmen, particularly in New England, have this combination of being completely arrogant and know-it-all, but also completely humble because of the forces you just described?
Well, I didn't know that they had this completely arrogant and know-it-all attitude. And I hope I'm not coming across that way.
I've crewed on a boat. I have crewed on a boat. And, man, if you don't know what you're doing, you get told.
Oh, yeah. Oh, in that sense, yeah. Well, many people become terribly tyrannical on a boat and impatient. And in less in the modern world, but in the days of sailing ships, it was extremely important that the greenhorns learned quickly, because they had to be able to do the things that might prevent disaster. So people had little impatience with them when they were ignorant. And I don't know. I can't answer the question.
And the
exactly.
Humility? And the humility?
Whose humility?
That says it all right there. What age did you stop being a greenhorn, Dave Mash?
Did I stop? Well, getting over greenhornness is a gradual procedure. It doesn't happen all at once. It just takes experience and time.
Dave Mash.
But one can always be a greenhorn in a new field.
That's right. Well, Dave Mash, your wisdom is appreciated on this program. Former commercial sword fisherman, used to work at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute. He's retired now from the Atlantic and writes a column on fishing and birds called Ask Pops. 73-year-old Atlantic stories. If you have some, call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Post a comment at thetakeaway.org. We're going to talk with Simon Winchester about his book, Atlantic. But we know you're all part of the lore of that great ocean to our east.